You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Hello, and welcome back to Snippets of Genius. I'm your hostess, Caroline Kay from carolinekay.co. And today, we're going to wrap up this series on building better. Have that notepad and pen ready, because we're going to share with you some of the big snippets of genius. To kick us off, I'm going to start with some of the best snippets from this series on entrepreneurship.
First, we have to adopt a new mindset. We are taught from a very young age that conformity is the key to success. That, you know, if you just fit in here, this is how we do things here, and this is how we behave here. And so we get those messages all the time. And I think the most successful people are the people who don't conform. They take the unique gifts that they have and they just spread them. They just own them and live them and make them visible. And they're comfortable with standing out rather than fitting in.
I remember one day I was walking the baby in the buggy and I came up with a whole ad campaign for Adidas in my head. And I was like, this is amazing. And I had this moment where I realized the only thing stopping you right now from going on to LinkedIn and pitching this is you. And that was a really profound moment for me. And I realized that everything that I'd learned, everything that I'd done was part of my DNA. And I didn't even need to worry about what I was going to do next because I couldn't even turn it off, right? I couldn't even turn it off. It was just living within me. And everything just happened naturally from there.
You just go, 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 go. You hustle, you hustle, you hustle, you hustle. And then you burn out and flop on the floor and you're just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Now I'm dying.
Yes.
You know, like it's hard. And that's the kind of mindset. And I'm still seeing it today. It drives me crazy. I'm like, look, hustling is important, right? It's important because hustle comes from a passion and comes from this kind of this urge and this determination you have to create something and make something amazing for people. I believe that passion fuels hustle. But I think there's a way to do it differently. You need to do it with consciously. You know, it's a conscious hustle and there's a burnout hustle. You can go that way or that way.
Yeah.
I think in the early days of starting a business, you go down this road of burning out hustle. Like you just do stuff without question. You don't think about things. You're just like, yeah, let's go, 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 go.
And then
it's just like, yeah, where am I? Like, how did I get here? And actually, this wasn't where we were meant to go. You do things without actually making sure that you're on the same page with your audience.
I've absolutely adored these gems. Really, it comes down to not only being on the same page as your audience, but getting everyone in your team to be on the same page as you. Here's how you do that.
Knowledge work is often, there's a passion and emotion around it, right? And I think what you need to do is try and inspire people based on that. So if you're passionate about marketing, you're passionate about content marketing, you're passionate about email or whatever it is, let's get that out of you and get you doing that. It isn't about the mercenary, you need to do 8 hours a day for me today. It's about, and we need to sell this. It's what's your place in that and how do we get that out of you? But it's not necessarily monetary or hours.
I think it's just building trust quickly and letting and helping your team to achieve it and not just doing the easy route, which is just do it for them, because that doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help you with your time, it doesn't help them feel fulfilled or progress.
We need to give autonomy and freedom and empowerment as much as possible. And the more we give, the more we get. And really that essence of reciprocity has been what has built a culture of trust, I think, for Hoxbee over the years. But that's something that we've done without necessarily quantifying. I think the thing that we've quantified is that work style is sacrosanct.
Curating teams that will deliver a brilliant output. And that is based on skills, passions, and circumstances. So rather than saying, almost everyone says, have you done this before? You know, when you're applying for a job, you have to show you've done it before. When actually for us, it's more about, have you got the skills transferable or otherwise that mean you could do the thing that you're applying to deliver as an output? The second thing is, are you really passionate about this? Because if you are, you've probably got a lifetime of knowledge, acquired knowledge through being passionate about it. And then the third thing is your circumstances. Does your work style over the next however long mean that you will be able to deliver the thing that you're applying to deliver for this project?
And after all that, we got right into not only how do you support your team, build that trust, harness that passion, but we got into really designing and building the right culture.
There's often a sort of flatlining of engagement, which I think a lot of businesses are seeing. And it may be at a time actually where the trajectory of the business is really exciting. And I think sometimes the leaders can't be like, well, why is not everyone else as excited as we are? And, you know, I think you see a lot of this come through in the various media reports that we all see around the, you know, level of loneliness going up. Right? Levels of productivity dropping because of those. And when our work becomes exclusively task focused, which it does when we're thinking about this sort of hyper efficiency mode, we often lose sight of why we're doing things in the first place. Like our role could look the same then whether we're working at any company, but you're not working at any company. You're working at that company. And you sort of need to remember why you chose that company. You know, why are you working there beyond your day-to-day tasks, which may be the same as another place? There's probably going to be a reason. And it's either going to be a community culture type reason, or it's going to be a real purpose-driven reason.
Whether you want to start your own business or not, knowing how and in what ways you find meaning in life means that you're going to make better job choices and be more fulfilled in the work that you do. So that's the first thing that I wanted to say, just like purpose is for everyone. And then in terms of how, I found the framework of Ikigai, so the Japanese concept of a reason for being, I found that really useful for just like pulling out all of the different aspects of like what I found important. So I'm sure many of your listeners have come across Ikigai, but just in case they haven't, it's basically a Venn diagram where you've got moral beliefs, so the things that you believe in, you've got world needs or like societal needs that you really want to respond to, you've got your core strengths, so the things that you can do better than anyone else, and then the final one is like how to keep its value drivers, so how you can like make money out of those things.
Fixing weaknesses. But we're taught from a very young age, well, you know, you're not so great at math, but you're a genius in writing. You had 3 years. People don't say, oh, just focus on writing. They're like, let's get good at math. And again, we get fed this message that, gosh, if I could just fix everything that's wrong with me, I'll be the most successful person on the planet. If you want to be wildly successful, unless your weakness is going to get in the way of your success, unless it's going to prevent you, ignore your weaknesses and focus on the things that you do better than anyone else. You're going to contribute at a higher level than others. And when everyone in an organization is using their strengths, the entire organization gets to operate at a much higher level.
Okay, so now I want you to think about not only how do you get your team aligned, purposeful, in action, but how do you inspire, become that great leader, and build a personal brand and a legacy that's going to last generations?
I think the challenge for all of us is going to be cut through that noise of this tsunami that I reckon is going to come through all of this. And I think that is going to get us back to old school brand building.
Yeah, so we use something called Jobs to be Done. And that is a framework that really beats into what is somebody looking, what job are you looking to do? What do you need to achieve? And how can you help achieve that? And that is, nobody wants to be friends with the brand. You don't think, oh, okay, I know what I'm going to do today. I'm going to go on and, you know, be friends with Slack for the day. But I do think, oh, okay, I need to quickly ask my team a question. I want to share this with this piece of news with them. And let's have a quick conversation that doesn't need a call about this. And, you know, they're the jobs that it's doing for me that day. So I think it's really understanding that in the first place helps you to then build around it and to get over this sort of idea that it's about the brand. It's not about the brand. It's about what you can do for somebody and how you can make their life easier and better.
What I've realized the more I've put myself out there is that there's so many incredible connections and relationships to build. And before I started my business, I was very like inward looking, like I was building connections within my organization, but not outside of it. I also found it quite cringy. I was like, oh, like, who's going to care about the work that I'm doing? And I wish I could go back in time and be like, so many people care.
Yeah.
So I think, and I still speak to people now actually where they're like, oh, but my mates are going to make fun of me. And it's like, they might make fun of you at first, but when they see that you're succeeding with it and like people are interested in what you're saying, they will just be jealous that they're not doing it.
We only work with people who do it well, who are a little bit out of the ordinary. So you won't get any of your, you know, off the peg stuff from us. We have people who really know what they're talking about and sometimes come at topics from quite an esoteric angle. So it's surprising, right? And I think that there's something really novel and inspiring about that. And then the ways you're going to connect. Sophie, my co-founder, and I are both massive foodies. So we really like to think about how people connect over food and drink and those kind of campfire or long table experiences. You know, we're really sort of built for that in our DNA.
Personal branding, even though the word personal implies you do it by yourself, it's not true. It's really good as a group activity or at least a pairs activity. So the first thing I would say is know who those people are. We get by in the world by ourselves. We excel in the world with others. And so being able to enlist others and you know, have them help you through the journey is great. They also want you to succeed and achieve your goals and whatnot. And I think it's great to have people in your corner who will do that. The second thing is listen. People are often telling you about your brand without you ever paying attention. The words they use to introduce you to someone, right? And in fact, when I was introduced to you on email from a mutual friend, Jean Oplinger, the amazing Jean Oplinger, the words that she chose to use to describe you are, first of all, they're really on target. And I read your bio and I thought, yeah, this woman's the real deal. This is who she is. But it was so clear to her that that's who you were. Those are the words she used. And for you to look at those words and say, that's how Jean describes me. Are those the words that really help me move my best brand forward? So paying attention, people are saying it all the time. And then if you look at a lot of data for people who are working inside companies, right, you get the annual review every year. Look over the last five. What are the adjectives that come up over and over? Do you own those adjectives? Are they the ones that you really want to own? Are they the ones you describe to yourself? So paying attention, I think there is feedback being provided that we're not even paying attention to.
I'm definitely an oversharer and I'm a proud oversharer and I will continue to overshare for the rest of my life because I actually think it's inspiring to, I mean, I do. I mean, people don't want to hear it. Like, you don't have to hear it, you know, just
the amount
go
of
away.
You have, I think lots of people want to hear it.
So thank you. I'm again, very blessed that I have amazing people who like what I say. Like, that's good. I must be doing something right. But yeah, I mean, I guess one of the stories I shared quite recently was my fear around being a mother one day. Yeah. And I've been very open about that. I actually shared a post on LinkedIn about that today again as well. And I think it's really important to share our fears and share our struggles and share the things that really hurt us. Because what that does is it invites people to share their story because they're like, oh gosh, like when we share our stories of grief, pain and struggle, what we do is we create a brave space for people to show up and feel comfortable sharing theirs. And that's the power of not just like connecting with us already knowing it, of telling our story. Because actually to tell your story, you have to do those two layers first. You have to connect with it and create that space to do that. And then you know it and feel confident with it. And then you can start telling it.
Marketing has changed massively since you started. You know, 20 years ago, it was much more about us saying a message and that resonating. Whereas now it's about building relationships and how can you take people on that ride and how can you really think about, you know, a brand isn't your friend, but you should feel for a brand to resonate and for you to stick with a brand, you need to feel you have a relationship with them. And that is very much how it's changed. And that is the core of really any development of a brand. So that's really changed, I think. From a tactics point of view, it changes constantly, which is why marketing is so interesting for me anyway, because it's a constant learning of, you know, the different channels you use, the different tools we can use, the opportunities to connect, the way in which audiences want to connect with you is constantly changing.
Really, personal branding is about how you deliver value to others. Your brand is held in the hearts and minds of those who know you. The more you deliver value consistently in an authentic and differentiated way, the more other people understand what your brand is about. So personal branding is it's an act of giving. It's really you have a gift in the world and you can use it to help other people be successful. And it might be what you do, it might be how you do what you do, but that's the key. And I think from the very beginning, when I would talk about personal branding, when nobody knew what it was, it sounded like this really egotistical, like these people who build their brands, they must be so full of themselves and just awful. And in fact, the opposite is true. The strongest brands in the world are the people you're like, wow, I just really want to know them.
Oof, that chunk was just so juicy. The final segment of this show is going to be about the top tips from my guests about what it truly means to build better.
Building better is about an understanding that this is an organic process of renewal, that it's not about staying fixed in this one place. It's about seeing further than what I see today, but not getting so ahead of myself that I'm worrying about tomorrow's problems today, right? Because that is something that happens. Like that's another one in the early days. I spent a lot of time solving problems that didn't even exist yet at the expense of the fires that were burning immediately.
And you sort of think, how much of what we had before do we really want to keep? And how much of it served its purpose then, but maybe doesn't now? And that can be quite hard, especially when you're in a fast-paced business, because all you're doing is moving forward. You're like, I've got bigger goals, and now I've got bigger goals, and we'll just need to run really hard in order to get them. But actually, if you're talking about building better, there's a cyclical point where you have to take a look back and reflect and recalibrate about, okay, well, where are we going now, and what do we want to keep, and what do we not want to keep consciously, and then taking that into the next phase.
You know, talking to your audience, working with them from the very beginning, finding people that will help test with you, getting out to market, getting it into people's hands, learning about what's working and what's not, constantly listening and learning and understanding where your point in the market can be and where those opportunities are, because you know, everything changes.
I think the common thread of building better is always the team, it's always the people, isn't it? It's always how are you going to get the most out of the knowledge, talent that you have around you.
To do it better, it starts with connecting to your story first. Like that's how you connect with people.
I think building better means building more aligned with who you are and how you want to be in the world. How can I build in a way where it just feels right, where everything feels right? You know, that's an amazing feeling, I think, where to, yeah. Right.
It's been a joy. It's been a wild ride, and I have thoroughly enjoyed this series. I would love to hear from you about what your biggest takeaway is, and most of all, what would you like to hear about next series? I'm gearing up for series 7. That's going to be coming to you after the summer. So please write into me. Let me know. What do you want to hear about? I've got some amazing guests just holding on the sidelines, and I really want to bring it together with the right expertise, the right knowledge that's going to help you on your journey to become the person you most want to be. Can't wait to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.